I'd like to talk with you just a few minutes, and what I thought I'd do tonight, just leave a few thoughts with you, not really try to get in nothing. If the Lord would bring us something, well, we'd be glad to tell it to you. First of all, I'd like to read a scripture out of 1 Peter, the 4th chapter, and then we will turn over to, I believe it's the 13th chapter of the book of Revelation after that, and maybe share a thought or two with you. It's just a thought or two here to let us have some idea of the end time and the way the Lord is speaking to us concerning our conduct. 1 Peter 4th chapter, 1st verse. Forasmuch then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, reveling, banqueting, and an abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober, and watch unto prayer, and above all things have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. Have you noticed right here, there is a lot of gospel. I mean a lot of gospel in this one chapter here, the fourth chapter of the first book of Peter. You know, we're told so many times how easy it is to get to heaven and how easy it is to get into the kingdom of God. Men preach all over the world, and they preach it so easy that all you have to do, you know, is just come and join the church or say, I believe on the Lord Jesus. And multitudes of people around the world do that from great crusades. But we're told in the book of Peter that if the righteous scarcely be saved, that a righteous man, a righteous woman, people who have lived righteously, they shall scarcely make it in. Just scarcely. If we do the very best we can, that we're just scarcely going to make it in. Now, we can say predestinated all we want to, and we can say easy to get to heaven all we want to, and we can say the Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, Church of God, Pentecostal, whatever, going to heaven all we want to. But the Bible says that a righteous man, whether he's Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal, it doesn't matter what he is, if he is a righteous man, that's what God speaks of. He doesn't speak of any church member or any church group or any certain people. He just says if he is a righteous man, that he will go into the kingdom of God. But the Bible said he himself shall scarcely make it in, even if he's a righteous man. Now he said, if this be true, then, now this is the man with the keys to the kingdom, said, if this be true, then where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Amen. There is a righteous man, there is an ungodly man, and there is a sinner man. You know, a sinner is somebody that don't know any better. They don't know. They've never known about God, you know. And then there's ungodly people that just won't have anything to do with God. Like the man I was speaking of a little bit ago, 32 years old, said he couldn't mix God in business. Just ungodly, won't have God. And then there is a righteous man. And the Bible said that this righteous man will make it. But he scarcely shall make it. After doing all that he can, strive to enter in at the straight gate, for many shall try and not be able. Now, if the righteous, living holy, living pure, living clean, living upright, if he just scarcely makes it into the kingdom of God, then the Bible said, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Where shall the ungodly appear? Where shall the sinner appear? If the righteous man just scarcely makes it in, then where shall the ungodly appear in the judgment? Where shall the sinner appear in the judgment? It's obvious that if the righteous are scarcely going to be saved, that there isn't going to be a chance for an ungodly man. There isn't even going to be a chance for a sinner to get in. If a man is a sinner or an ungodly person, there is absolutely no hope for him. For just the righteous alone shall make it, and they scarcely shall make it in. Straight is the gate, narrow is the way, and few there be that shall enter therein. Many shall try and not be able. Pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape the things that's coming on this world. Now that's where we're living. That's what God is expecting of us. And then he tells us here in the book of Peter, he goes on to point out in the book of Peter that people that run to riotous living and doing all these things in the flesh, that they live in the flesh, that is in the mind of natural things. When it says in the flesh, it means in the mind of natural things. They that are born after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, Paul saying. So then Peter brings out the same thing in his writings, that they that are in the flesh cannot please God because they are interested in the things that the carnal mind wants them to be interested in. First of all, they've got to be born again or they can't even see the kingdom of God. People talking about going to heaven when the Bible very definitely states that unless a man is born again, he can't even see the kingdom of God. He doesn't even have eyes to see, spiritual eyes of understanding, to even see the kingdom of God unless he's born again. So then we see it's going to be a close race. It's going to be a close run. We're really going to have to get down to business if we make it into the kingdom of God. Did you know that? And then after we've done everything that we can do through prayer, through fasting, through trying, through giving, through sacrifice, through coming together as a unit to serve God, then when we've done all of that, we just look up to God and say, we're not any better than a filthy rag, God. But through the blood of Jesus Christ, I've got faith that I'm going to make it in. That's the way you got to do it after you do all you can do. Because you can't get in then unless you have faith in His blood. And you can't even have faith in His blood until you've done everything that you possibly can do. He won't even accept your faith and His sacrifice until you've done everything possible in your life to be perfect. And then when you've done everything possible in your life to be perfect, then He'll accept your faith in the blood atonement and take you into the kingdom of God. I know some of you don't believe that because you've got a background, you know, of religion and all. But nevertheless, that's absolutely God's word. And you're going to be judged by it just like I'm going to be judged by it. And that's the only way that you're going to make it into the kingdom of God. You know, we've got people in the churches just sat here for one purpose. And that's to be a needle, a prick in my side, you know. But because of their old doubtful, skeptical minds that I feel all the time during the services. But I'm thankful for one thing. The many years that's gone by has proved to be exactly what I said. Amen. Everything that God has told me, I've proven it over the many years. And every person that has come against it one way or another has lost their life or something has happened to them or they've been pushed out of the picture and God's cut them off and they are cut off from the kingdom of God today. Many of them are dead and in their graves. I got a man sitting on this side that's skeptical and a woman sitting on this side in the balcony, the first balcony there. Now, they're skeptical. Always both of them is the same thing. Year after year, they're skeptical. But see, it doesn't make any difference. When God's word says that the righteous shall scarcely be saved, though you may believe in predestination over here and you may believe in your religious background over here, yet both of you'll go to hell because you don't believe in the word of God. So then, it's a straight way. It's a straight way. A straight, narrow way. It's tight. And though you do everything that you possibly can to get into the kingdom of God, you're going to find out that you're going to be lost in the end. Isn't that right? I notice now, I want you to see something here. Sitting on my right in the very same place where a woman was sitting a few weeks back that was so skeptical, which now is facing problems with God. Spoke to her again and again. Tonight, a woman is sitting in the identical same place that gave me the same problem year after year, sitting in the same place and giving me the same problems. You know, the devil, if you'll notice this, the devil works, he works in such a way that he works and puts people in the very same seats where skeptics sit time after time. Down here on the campground, I can have somebody to move out, and the very troubled spot, there'll be another troublemaker move in. Right at the same spot. It just works that way. You ever notice that? Satan is in a rut. Do you believe that? Satan is in a rut. But you know, the Word of God is precious. It's wonderful. And it can deliver you from that rut. It can get you out of that rut. That old carnal mind. Where the problem is, see, is you've never been born again. That's where your problem is. Now you are a believer, and I'm not trying to hurt you or come against you, but you've never received the infilling of the Spirit. If you had the Holy Ghost, you wouldn't be a prick in my side. I wouldn't feel you like that. It'd be altogether different. See, but you got to have the Holy Ghost. When a person gets the Holy Ghost, their spirits flow together. You don't have that kind of problem. But I don't care, a person that's religious, the more religious they are, the more they believe. The more they believe, the more of a prick they are on your side. Because they're religious, but they don't have the Holy Ghost. So then what you need to do is seek the Holy Ghost. The man on the left needs to seek the Holy Ghost because he doesn't have the Holy Ghost. The woman on the right needs to seek the Holy Ghost because she doesn't have the Holy Ghost. See, and now, numbers of you, I don't feel like that. Woman sitting right along here, I don't feel her spirit tonight, but she gives me a lot of trouble in the spirit at time. But even she needs a greater experience with God and the Holy Ghost. Though I don't feel any problem from her tonight. But many of you that I don't feel any problem from tonight is because you've been fasting and praying and seeking God and you've got evil spirits off of you. And you broke the yoke and you've got loose, but it won't be but a few days, it'll be right back on you. See, the Bible said when the evil spirit leaves a man, it wanders through dry places seeking rest and it can't find it. When it can't find a place to go into, it comes right back to the place it left. See, the evil spirit is driven out. It goes away, but it doesn't stay away. The Bible said Satan departed from Jesus for a little season. Then he came back pestering him again, trying to get in. See, the devil never quits. There is a continual warfare between the outer man and the inner man. Like I got a man in this row right here, he's real intellectual. He always gives me trouble in the spirit. What he needs is a good infilling of the Holy Ghost. That would stop it. But consequently, he doesn't go that route, so consequently, he remains living up here. As long as a person lives up here in the carnal mind, it's always going to be there's always going to be a breach between you and that person. It doesn't matter how close they try to get to you or what they try to do, there'll always be a breach between you and them because they're living in the carnal mind. Now, I got another sister up here. I say this tonight to help you a little. Up here on the second row, up here on the second balcony. This person is a real good person, a real fine person. But the person just doesn't get in with God. They don't really get spiritual. They're just at a stall like that. And they don't go in with God. Got another person sitting along here. This person is a hard-hearted person. They can't get tender. Got another woman sitting over here in this place over here. That's a very gullible sort of a person that doesn't care about God and want to share with God or do anything with God, but just concerned about self. See, in all of the audience, there's people like that. Maybe you don't see them. Maybe you don't know about them, but I do. See, and day after day, I see them. And what is the problem with them? If they don't have the infilling of the Holy Ghost, if they just have the infilling of God's Spirit, I would take care of every bit of it. That's why Peter said what he did. The people around you, they think it's strange that you won't go to all the eating and the drinking and the rioting and having a big time getting out in the world and doing all these things with them. They think it's strange that you won't do the way that they do. But you know what? If you got God, you won't do that way. If you've got the Holy Ghost won't let you do that. The Holy Spirit won't let you do that. See, because He's got control of you in here. When He possesses the reins of your heart, you can't do those evil, wicked things. There's no way you can do them. Because there's something in here. Paul said, the love of God constraineth me. And it repels all that. It drives all that away. Now, if every person in here tonight was filled with the Holy Ghost, think what God could do for us. If they really had the Holy Ghost. But you know where the problem is? Everybody says, look at me. See what I'm doing. See what I'm doing. Instead of saying, look at Jesus and see what Jesus is doing. Wanting somebody to follow them, somebody to listen to them, somebody to believe in them instead of believing in the Word of God. See, and somebody comes around and they indoctrinate you. It might be your grandmother. It might be your mother. It might be some preacher that you're familiar with, or might be somebody out there in the world that you've put your confidence in, but they want to tell you about the Word of God. But see, they don't know the Word of God. They don't understand the Word of God. I have a lot of trouble coming out of the Carolinas for one reason, and that is many of them are ignorant of the Word of God in the things that they're doing. They are ignorant of the Word of God. Paul, Peter said, you're ignorant of these things. Said, I hope you crucified Jesus through ignorance so that you may find repentance. I have a lot of problem coming from up there. And what causes that is people have their minds on fishing, have their minds on hunting, have their minds on drinking, have their minds on eating, making money, buying houses, getting land. And they don't have their minds on winning souls. They don't have their minds on praying and fasting and seeking God. They want to be somebody in the eyes of somebody. And they want somebody to believe what they've got to say. Folks, that's why I said it the first of the service. I'm not interested in that. I am interested in doing the will of my Heavenly Father. I came into this world for one purpose. That's not to be seen, nor to be heard, but to please God and do the will of Him that sent me. That's the only ambition I have. That's why that I can tell your spirits and do know what you're thinking and what you're doing. For that very reason, because I am sincere with God and I have no other ambition. Therefore, He allows me to do that. But here it is. See, we are to be separated from the flesh. Now then, I referred you over to Revelation 13. Now look at this. Over in the book of Revelation, the 13th chapter, what does it say concerning the end time? That the beast will come up in the end time. Isn't that right? That in the end time, that beast will show himself. I made the statement a lot of times. What is that beast? The Bible speaks of brute beasts made to be taken and burned. It means that human beings themselves that have appeared to be religious, they have appeared to know God, they've appeared to be the right kind of people, will be seen at last as the brute beast that they really are. The membership that will become coherent with a head that will come up in the end time that will gather them all together. Now you say, Brother Pike, where do you get that? Look at the beast and see if that's right. When the beast comes up out of the water, what does it do? Look back over here in the book of Daniel. The first thing you see in the book of Daniel is the lion. The next thing you see following that in the book of Daniel is the bear. The next thing you see is the leopard. See, the old Babylonian kingdom, we see it coming up. The old Babylonian kingdom of the lion. The same old Roman Babylonian system that's always been a hoary system. It caused the problems that killed the saints of God. You see it coming up out of the water. That same paganistic Roman power that killed millions of people, according to history, and the Fox's Book of Martyrs. The religious thing that kills people that thinks they do God a service. Just like right now, the government, they're planning to do away with what they call the cults. All of these things, thinking that they do God a service. How can men that are carnal, that don't even know God, decide what is God and what is not God? They're bound to judge after their carnal minds. How can they decide what's right and what's wrong when the Bible said the wicked shall not even see when good cometh, let alone be able to judge it? Besides that, it's a violation of the Constitution because we're supposed to have separation of church and state. Not supposed to have anything to do with it. Is that right? But it's that same old power coming in, that lion that Daniel saw in the vision. Wasn't that what John saw? When John saw it, he said it had the head of a lion when it come up out of the water. And then when Daniel looked a little further, seeing the Medo-Persians, he saw the great bear come up, didn't he? He saw this great bear come up. Isn't that what John saw? When John looked at it, John said, and it had feet like a bear. And then when Daniel looked at it again, what did he see? He saw the body of a leopard, didn't he? And when John looked at it, wasn't it the same thing? He said, and it had the body of a leopard. So then it was the same constitution, the same thing, the same Trinity, the same power, the old Babylonian head coming up. Isn't that right? The old communistic carrier of the feet and the old Grecian body. It's the same thing. Look at it today. It's the beast of the end time. It's coming up. It had 10 horns, 7 heads, all coming up, bringing in the 10 common markets of Europe, the confederation of that great power of money. Now look at it for just a minute and see if that's right. The Bible, when it speaks of the great whore, it said she was carried by the beast. It's obvious that communism is going to carry her. We made that statement here a while back that that's what would happen. That it would be communists carrying the Roman Catholic Church. And sure enough, immediately after that, the Roman Catholic Church said, we're turning to communism so that we can survive. Because that's what it's supposed to be. The Roman power coming up once again. The paganistic powers of Rome coming up. The old Babylonian kingdom. Remember, Satan goeth about as a roaring lion. Jesus is the lion of the tribe of Judah. So then the same paganistic power, Rome. Now look at it. What is it? The old Babylonian religious way of life. Old Babylonian head saying we believe in church over state. Everything has to bow down to it. It believes in being the head. What is it? It is a religion that everything can fit. The old mother harlot, she doesn't care whether you're Baptist or Methodist or Pentecostal or whatever you are, whether you speak in tongues or jump a roll or whatever you do, as long as you let her be the head and be the mother. That's been proven. All right. So then we see it as a religious affair. That religion is to cover the world. A paganistic religion is already doing it. The old Jezebel way of life. You can be charismatic, paint your lips, make your lip red, just as red as blood, to show the drunkenness of the whore off of the blood of the martyrs. You can paint your eyes like a lizard to show the old deception of the serpent in the garden. You can do it. Right on down the line, you can just fix up anyway. Frolic in the world. See, but you got to say praises to mother. Isn't that right? Blessed Mary, the mother of God. Who ever heard of such foolish thing? The mother of God. Since when did God ever have a mother? God is a spirit. There's no such thing as God having a mother. The Bible said she was the mother of our Lord, which was Jesus, the flesh, but not the mother of God. God is a spirit. All right, so then that great religion, saying praise to mother while you count a bunch of beads. Now, but what is the second part of that body? What constitutes the second part? It's obvious that religion is everywhere. We see that coming into power. We know that's the head of the old beast. But see, there's two other parts. What is the other part? One of them is communism that goes back to the feet. There's got to be more than just a religion. There has got to be a government among the people. First a religion for the people, and then a government for the people, which is communism. But see, that isn't enough. The body, or the part that is constituted of the many multiplied people, which is referred to as the body. What is it? It's a big time of sports, the Grecian way of life, the old leopard, being filled with sports, you know, turning to sports, mingling religion and government with sports. As a matter of fact, I think Moscow is supposed to have a great big time in sports not very far away over there. All mixing together. How do you understand what I'm saying? They're all intermingling. Like I just heard about the Rehoboth Baptist Church. Said they put 50 people out of their congregation. 50 of them. Because they raised their hand to praise God. But they say they've got a great sports activity. Holler, scream, roll for the devil, but don't say amen for God. So then what is it? It is a constituted thing of a communist government with a religious head on it that's got a body of nothing but athletes. Great sporting time, every kind of sport. From baseball to football, that's the body of it. That's the great body of the beast. That makes up the thing. That's the great mass of people, the body of it. See, all kind of sports, the leopard. Then you take and crown that thing. You put it under the seven heads of that papacy Rome rule back over there. Whereas the Bible speaks of it, over when it speaks of it, it said five are fallen, one is to come, and then the eighth shall be of the seven. Speaking of the whole thing being one sequence, then crown it, put the ten horns on it. When you get the ten horns on it, you got the money power behind it. The ten common markets of Europe, with all of the money powers, put the money powers behind it. And then you got a beast. You got a brute beast made to be taken and burned. You got a brute beast moving through the land. You got a power. You got a regime that'll crush the Christian people. I made the statement concerning Jimmy. I said he'll be the best thing that ever happened to the world. He'll make craft to prosper. He'll unite everything, bring it into one world government. All of that Jimmy will do. It'll be a great time for people. I said, but it'll be the worst thing that ever happened to the church. You remember me saying it way back there. And sure enough, what happened? What is the worst thing that ever happened to the church? It's always been communism. Isn't that right? The worst thing that ever happened to the church has been communism. Look how they've done the people. Now then, he's brought in communism. The worst thing that could have happened to the church. Not only that, but at the time when it's intermingled with God's greatest enemy, the Catholic power. There ain't never been a greater power that was enemy to God than the Roman power of Catholicism. It's been God's greatest enemy. As a matter of fact, I hear that they just showed the picture of Holocaust over in Germany, is it? And they say those young German Jews and whatever over there are just about to go crazy, bumming things and tearing up things and crying and just tore all to pieces and seeing what happened, you know. They're talking about peace in the world. Where is peace in the world? I'd love to know where there's peace at in the world. We don't even have peace in Washington. They're fighting the senator up there. I think Talmadge got drunk. They got so much pressure on him, had to go to the hospital. And look at Jimmy. There's no peace with Jimmy Carter. I think they took a vote just running something around to see what would happen, to see if the people were still satisfied over voting for Jimmy. And they say when they put it into the pot and it come back out for Jimmy and Ford, that it was about 60 for one and 30 for Jimmy, was it? In other words, about twice as many decided they didn't want Jimmy, and they'd rather have forward back. Where is any peace? There is no peace, brothers and sisters. There is no peace except in God. The Bible doesn't say you'll have peace. It said, in this world you'll have trouble, but in me you'll have peace. Amen. Paul said, on the inside there's peace, but without there's conflict, war, problems, all of these things, poverty coming. Look at poverty, look at inflation. I'm going to say this and try to close right here. But I understand that Jimmy stood up the other day. Congress said, we're going to stop inflation. I mean, stop it. Oh, that's good. That's fine. But I understand that he told the senators, he said, what kind of government is this? That we say that a certain thing has to be done and the senators doesn't even carry it out. And the people doesn't even perform it. What kind of government is that? I intend to stop inflation, he said. But you know, if one of those fellas had just stood up in Congress and said, sir, could I just say a word or two? And say, would you kindly tell me what kind of government it is when a man comes in as a dictator and takes over the government and changes the federal government and breaks unity between the United Nations and the foreign countries after we've given them our word to stand as an ally and turn their enemy loose on them and override Congress and everybody else to do it? What kind of government is that? Amen. See, a person can be real shrewd. Stand up the way he did and say, we're looking back to our forefathers. The way that they established the government, the way that they put everything up, the way everything should be. They did it. That's the way we have to be, he said. But why isn't he doing that? Amen. He's broke everything the forefathers stood for. And just using that for a sham to blind the people. Oh, children of God, let me tell you, you've got one leader, that's Jesus, not Jimmy Carter, not Brother Pike, not Brother Branham, not Paul, not Elijah, but Jesus, just one leader, Jesus, that's all. He's our leader. The Bible said in that day, he alone shall be exalted. He alone shall be exalted. That day there won't be any healing medicines. You need not go to the hospital. There's not any healing medicines in the hospital. God give doctors, God give medicine, God gave all that as an aid, and it's a good thing. But when they got to being so ungodly with it, and people got to get into the place to where they thought they could just sin and do any old evil way and run to the doctors and they were prolonging life, God frowned on it. And it's not any good anymore. There's not a bomb in Gilead anymore except Christ Jesus. So then you're not going to find it in the church. Your wise men in the church and your preachers are going to be turned into mad men. They're not even going to know how to advise you. Your stargazers is going to turn into wild people. They're not going to know head nor tails. Jimmy Dixon's so mixed up now she don't know whether she's going or coming. She's done made so many predictions and got all twisted up. And the president's in the same condition in all the rest of the world. Because God's going to confound all of them, he said. And Jesus Christ alone, which is the Word, shall be exalted in that day. He alone shall be the answer to our problem. If that be the case, then let's bind ourselves together. Unite ourselves together in a confederation for God. Forget about the government. Forget about religion. Forget about everything else. And concentrate on Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, to please Him and have all time salvation in our heart. And not be blown about by every wind of doctrine. Every time somebody comes and tells you something that somebody said from the Carolinas or somebody said from Tennessee or somebody said from Brother Pike or about Brother Pike or whatever, don't get mixed up in all that mess. Stay away from it. Let's be brothers and sisters. Let's keep our mind on God and go on at little Bethlehem. And I promise you that anybody that's troubling us, God will trouble them. You'll be happy. God will meet your needs and everything will be well with you. But if you don't stay in the boat, Paul said, unless you abide in the boat, you can't be saved. You have to stay in the boat. Let's just stay together, work for God, because there's safety and peace in God. But outside, there's storm, there's trouble, there's death, there's heartaches, there's problems, there's woes. And if you want to get out there in it, get in the storm and be tossed about and torn to pieces, that's your business. But I'm going to stay out of the carnal mind and stay in the mind of Christ. because I found peace and safety in the mind of my Lord and Savior. And I trust that you will do the very same thing, and in doing so, you'll find happiness. All right, let's stand together tonight.